This is the Friday edition of the Large Morning Show in the Afternoon on the Big 550 KTRS. This portion of the show brought to you by Oreck. The Oreck Home Centers are all locally owned and operated. Great places to get vacuum cleaners and all sorts of cleaning supplies for your home. O-R-E-C-K spells Oreck. I am Paul Harris. Dan Strauss is here. Josh Gilbert is filling in for Ian Geis. We'll be back from vacation with Frank on Monday. Not that he's on vacation with Frank, but they will both be back in this chair. Well, in their respective chairs. Just stop talking.
They'll be here Monday.
They'll both be here Monday.
Is he going to sit on Frank's lap?
Idiot on the radio was trying to say. And here now, the fourth member of our show for this 4 o'clock hour on Friday afternoon, our news director, Colin Jeffrey, who has abandoned the radio station for a vacation this week. And the reason we're playing the Rocky theme is because he is in the Rocky City of Philadelphia, where I understand, Colin, you actually did run up the Art Museum steps and do the Rocky move. Is that true?
I did indeed. It was a lot of fun. And, you know, you have to get in line to do it.
What?
So many other people there. There are so many other people there trying to go up and down the stairs and, you know, stand on the little Rocky plaque at the top. Sort of have to wait for your turn.
Really?
That's amazing, because I was there, I guess, 3 years ago with my daughter, and I was driving her to her freshman year of college. We went through Philadelphia. There was no one there. Well, actually, there was one high school girls lacrosse team that was there, and they were all doing it, and they were much more inspirational than fat, bald, middle-aged guy and his daughter doing it. But there was no line there. I'm shocked.
Oh, yeah. There was actually a group of elementary school students on a field trip, and the teachers had them race all up at once, like 20 across, and, you know, that's safe.
Elementary school kids even know who Rocky is?
No, but they got to get out of the bus and run. Yeah. I think that was their excitement.
Yeah, and your daughter has no idea who Sylvester Stallone is, right?
No, but they've got a statue right there, so she did her best boxer pose and took a picture with the giant Rocky statue.
So in, like, Rocky 3 or 4, they did erect a statue with his hands up and with his gloves on. Is that statue really there?
It's really there. At the base of the steps, just off to the side.
Yo, it's really there. I was there, you know, posing for it and stuff, you know.
Tom Brokaw, ladies and gentlemen.
Thanks so much. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad that you have torn away from your family vacation long enough to join us here this afternoon to talk about movies. And before we get to the two movies we're going to review today, I do have to say something about Jurassic World, which you saw and you've talked about it being an unbelievable box office dynamo ever since it came out. I saw this week, Colin, it has moved up to number 3 on the all-time box office list, $1.522 billion. It pulled ahead of Avengers, and it's now behind only Avatar and Titanic.
Yeah. It's quite the success story. So successful, in fact, while it is still in theaters, I believe this was its sixth week out, they already announced June 22nd of 2018, you can see Jurassic World 2.
Wow.
Yes, indeed. So they are not wasting any time to try and capitalize on this.
Now, here's something I didn't mention in your original review of the movie, because I didn't know it until I read this week, that the guy who directed Jurassic World also wrote it. His name is Colin Trevorrow. Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah, Colin Trevorrow, I think, or something. Yeah,
Trevorrow, okay. I didn't know that this was the guy who made a little indie movie I saw 3 years ago that I liked. It was called Safety Not Guaranteed. Did you ever see it?
I did, and I really like Safety Not Guaranteed. And to see him go from that to this is wow.
Yeah, to go from a tiny little independent movie like that that not many people saw. I didn't even know it came out in the theater. I saw it on Netflix. But to go from that to the third biggest movie ever, that's amazing.
Yeah. It really is something else. It also happened, I've got to remember the director's name, but with Godzilla this year, Gareth Edwards, or last year I guess it was, that was another guy that had done relatively small movies, and then they give the reins to Godzilla to him. I mean, he had done, I don't think you've heard Monsters, the factory farm. You've never heard of the movies he did.
No.
And so, they're giving these young directors a shot at these giant movies, and they're doing pretty well right now.
Let me give a plug to this guy's movie, Safety Not Guaranteed, for our listeners who haven't seen it and might want to put it on the Netflix queue. I'll just give you a quick little summary. Aubrey Plaza, who was in a movie called The To-Do List, but also, I guess, is she best known from The Office?
Parks and Rec.
Parks and Recreation.
Okay, I'm sorry. And Jake Johnson, who's on or was on that show, New Girl, with can't remember
Zoe Deschanel.
Thank you very much. They work for a magazine, and he sees a classified ad that reads, "Wanted, someone to go back in time with me. This is not a joke. You'll get paid after we get back. Must bring your own weapons. Safety not guaranteed. I've only done this once before," unquote. That's the classified ad, and they say, "We got to go find this guy and do a story about him." And that guy is played by Mark Duplass, who's been in a lot of indie movies, and he and his brother Jay have made a lot of them. In fact, I recommended one last year that he made with Elizabeth Moss, which was very, very good. But this one's called Safety Not Guaranteed. It's not a great movie, but it's a very good movie, wouldn't you say, Colin?
Oh, yeah, I really enjoyed it, and actually, it's based off a true story of sorts. There was a small magazine back in the late 90s that had a guy who contributed to it to sort of fill out space, and one week on a particularly tight deadline, the editor comes to him and says, "I need something." He says, "I don't have any jokes. Just give me two classified ads for free," and one of the ads that he writes is that ad that you've read. And it sort of circulated in the internet in the early 2000s, and then they made a movie. What if it was actually true?
Huh.
So, yeah, one of those things that it's kind of neat the way it came about. And, yeah, I think it's a good movie. Worth the watch.
Yeah, again, it's called Safety Not Guaranteed. And the guy who directed that and directed Jurassic World has also been chosen to direct Star Wars Episode 9, which is coming out when? 5 years?
I think that's right. Every other year. So, yeah, 5 years.
The movie that Elizabeth Moss did with Mark Duplass, I want to plug that also because I liked it. It's called The One I Love. I reviewed that when it came out last year. So just a couple of Netflix recommendations. Now let's get to the big screen stuff for this weekend. What do you have?
I went to see the new Adam Sandler movie, Pixels.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Pardon?
I said I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, I am too. that was time I wish I could have back on the vacation.
Yeah.
The basic premise is we have been playing video games in the 80s. We were playing arcade games, and those signals got beamed into space. So, you know, Qbert and Centipede and Space Invaders and Pac-Man, they all got beamed into space, and a hostile alien race saw them and thought it was a declaration of war. So they, of course, visit Earth in the form of these arcade games.
All right, let me just stop you right now.
Yes.
How did they get beamed into space again?
I don't know. Because, they get beamed into space.
Because radio, yep. I mean, every show that we do, our voices are carrying out into the solar system and beyond as radio waves. Television broadcasts, not cable and satellite, but television broadcasts that go through terrestrial antennas, the same thing. They're going out into space and moving out further and further and further. That I could understand.
No, they've heard us. They don't want to have anything to do with us.
Yeah.
Take me to Paul Harris.
No, it's not going to happen. But video games? Come on. So the premise of this is asteroids has made them want to come here and kick our asteroids?
Yeah, because they think it's a declaration of war. They think we're sending them our plans for how we're going to invade. So, implausibly, they then convert into these video game characters and descend upon Earth to destroy it. The good of it, it's a little more family-friendly than Adam Sandler's latest works.
Is that a true story?
Yeah, it's a true story.
Oh, okay.
True story.
Based on a true story.
Okay.
It's not as vulgar. There are a few jokes in there that might make you laugh. That's it. That's the good. The bad is this is clearly designed to appeal to sort of like that teenage family movie. You could take your 15 or 16 year old to see this, or even 13 year old, and they'd be entertained, except they're referencing games that no one has played in 30 years.
Right.
So you're immediately eliminating those. They're like, what's this little red guy hopping around?
Yeah.
I will say that. Qbert hopping around, very cute. It's endearing. You'll like that. Everything I've spoken about seems plausible until you get to this fact in the movie. The President of the United States, Kevin James.
Okay.
See? So
that's quite a promotion from Mall Cop.
He's the president?
He's the president of the U.S., and when these aliens descend, what does he do? He calls upon his friend, played by Adam Sandler. His name is Brenner, and he was the arcade champion when they were kids, and now he's a home video entertainment installer. So, of course, you're going to call on him to save the world.
Mm-hmm.
And
wait.
He brings with him his friends Peter Dinklage and Josh Gad.
Is Rob Schneider in this in any?
I didn't see him. So, no, there are 1,000 cameos, though. Dan Aykroyd, Serena Williams, Martha Stewart. There are more than that. I know I'm forgetting. But
Serena Williams?
Yeah, it makes no sense. And it's just boring. Like, not only does it not make you laugh, it's boring. And then on top of that, it's not really well made. There will be cuts where you're looking at an angle from one side to the other, and they shift perspective, and it's like you're looking at a different. It's just jarring. You'll notice them when you see it, if you go to see this movie, which you should not. So that's what I'm telling you. Like, you'll notice it. You'll be jarred by this. But it's just, it's not good. And the director, I wasn't looking forward to this movie a whole lot. But then I'm like, oh, the director's Chris Columbus. And you may remember him. He's the guy who directed Home Alone.
Yeah, and he discovered
the
America.
First Harry Potter movies.
Yeah.
He wrote The Goonies. He wrote Gremlins. And I don't know why he would want his name attached to this.
Wow.
This is just bad. It's really overall a bad movie, but it's still an Adam Sandler film, and you're going to laugh once or twice. I will credit Adam Sandler. He didn't overact anything. It's sort of a subdued performance for him. So he's at least not the one, you know, chewing the scenery, but it's just, even the CGI, you've got these giant monsters. It's just not very convincing, and it doesn't look particularly good.
What do you give it? The movie is Pixels. What do you give it on a scale of 10?
I give it 3, and that's a generous 3.
Mm.
But 3. It's not good. It is better than Minions, though. Don't go see Minions still, parents.
Yeah. Yesterday, I went to see a movie I'm not allowed to talk about yet because it's embargoed and I can't talk about it till the day it's being released. But after I saw it, I tweeted that I had just seen a movie that will be right behind Hot Tub Time Machine 2 on my worst of 2015 list. And somebody tweeted back to me, was it Pixels?
Did you like Hot Tub Time Machine 1,
first
one?
Yes, I did.
Okay, I did too.
Yeah, but the sequel now is out on video, and don't even bother with that one. And I'll tell you, I think in a week or two is when I can break the embargo and tell you about the movie I saw yesterday. But it was worse than what you just said about Pixels.
Yeah, and this is just sad to see, because I was looking through everything Adam Sandler has done, and they're not all bad movies, but the last comedy he had that I think was really pretty funny, you've got to go all the way back to 1999, and that was like The Waterboy, and before that you get into like The Wedding Singer. He really has just sort of reveled in mediocrity for the last 15 years.
Did you like Mr. Deeds?
Yeah, Mr. Deeds was 99. I thought that had moments that that was 2002, wasn't it? That was funny, but it still wasn't like, the whole thing wasn't funny. The third act was just, ugh.
And now he's got to deal with Netflix to do, I think, 6 movies for them.
Yeah, including the Terrible Six or whatever, or the Magnificent Six, the movie that offended Native Americans so badly, they walked off set.
So, yeah, we talked about that one a few weeks ago.
Already.
Yeah. The movie I have to review today is called Paper Towns. I am way the wrong demo for this movie, because I'm not a 14-year-old girl. This is adopted from the best-selling novel by John Green, who had a hit last year or the year before with The Fault in Our Stars. And it stars the same kid, a boy by the name of Nat Wolff. It's a coming-of-age story. He plays a boy named Quentin, 18 years old, high school senior, about to finish up high school and go off to college, and on his way to med school and become a doctor. That's what his plan is. Across the street, when he's 7 years old, a girl moves in by the name of Margot, and they become good friends, but then they kind of grow apart once they get to high school, and then one night she comes back to him and takes him off on an adventure around town where she wants to get revenge on her boyfriend and her best friend and some other people, and they have fun on that all-night adventure through their hometown of Orlando, Florida. But the next day, Margot disappears. And it's not like Rosamund Pike's character disappearing in Gone Girl. This is, she's obviously left on her own. And her parents say, well, she's left on her own. Don't put her down as a missing person. We know she just left, and she'll come back when she's ready to come back, or the money's run out. But that's not good enough for Quentin, who decides to look for her, using some cryptic clues that Margot has left behind. And Quentin has to decipher. And along the way, he and a couple of his high school buddies decide to skip out on school and go and try to find her. Now, when you hear a story about teenagers going on a quest to find something, if you're like me, the first thing you think of is Stand By Me, which is the standard for those kind of movies, and was wonderful as a coming-of-age movie of these four boys going off and having an adventure looking for a dead body. In this case, they're not looking for a dead body. They're looking for a live girl. Mm-hmm. And it's an interesting adventure, unfortunately, not very well told and blandly told. And the adventures, you know, not that intriguing, not that fascinating. I will say this Nat Wolff is okay. You know, he and the other kids are good actors. Margot is played by Cara Delevingne, who is a model. Josh just told me before we went on the air today that she's done some modeling for Victoria's Secret. If you've ever seen her, she has Marielle Hemingway eyebrows, which I find very distracting on both Marielle Hemingway and on this Cara Delevingne. If you've seen any pictures of her, they're big, thick, dark eyebrows that just seem odd. It's like she's got two giant worms above her eyes.
Paul, there are websites out there, how to get power brows.
That's what they're called?
Yeah, how to look like Cara Delevingne, how to shape your eyebrows. I think that they look ridiculous.
Yeah, I do too. I usually wouldn't make fun of somebody, except that this is a thing that, as Josh points out, is her selling point.
Yes.
She's famous for this, and no appeal to me whatsoever, and neither does the movie, by the way. I don't think it's as bad as Pixels. I'll give it a 4 out of 10 because the cast is likable enough, but none of them give a performance where you go, wow, that was amazing. So 4 out of 10 for Paper Towns. Again, if you're a teenage girl, you're the demo for this, and you might enjoy it, but I don't think anybody else will. The other movie that's opening this weekend is called Southpaw with Jake Gyllenhaal as a boxer. What do you know about this?
I know that Jake Gyllenhaal got really into method acting for this. He plays a boxer who's at the top of his career. Something happens and he falls off his pedestal and has to sort of, it's supposed to be a story of redemption that doesn't possibly make it quite all the way to redemption. But he got really into this and for parts of the movie looks beat up, and that's because he wanted to film all of the scenes, the fighting scenes, at the beginning, and he said some of the punches were real because he actually wanted to look beat up. And so he said, I definitely hit the other guys sometimes, they hit me. You know, I think he's one of the better working actors in Hollywood right now, and I would see him in just about anything. So
I really liked him in Nightcrawler last year. I thought it was one of the best movies of the year.
Yeah, I really liked that last year, and you know, last year it was just such a deep category for the men at the Oscars that he didn't get any love. But, you know, Southpaw, I think if you're looking for something a little different, you've got Southpaw, Trainwreck, and Inside Out right now that are probably not your typical blockbuster fare and pretty good movies for everyone I've spoken to.
You think Southpaw will do big box office this weekend?
No, I don't think so. It's the best recent movie I could think to compare it to is Equalizer, which is the Denzel Washington ultra-violent movie. Southpaw, from what I've heard, has quite a bit of violence, but it's not this clear cut and dry, he's good, everyone else is bad.
Yeah, well, I know Paper Towns is not going to be a blockbuster. Is the Adam Sandler Pixels going to be a blockbuster?
Yeah, I think Paper Towns, Ant-Man, and Pixels are all going to be vying for the top spot. Those will probably be the top three.
Really?
Yeah, because the Paper Towns comes in with the John Green pedigree behind it. And that's the guy who did, again, Fault in Our Stars. I think he also did a book, Mystery Alaska or something, that's also being made into a movie. It's not going to be the runaway hit that Fault in Our Stars was, but his demo was going to go see it. And, you know, they're teenage girls. This is what they want to see this weekend. So
yeah,
those three movies each provide something fairly different. You get sort of a family comedy is what they're calling it, but really sort of family movie. And then, you know, teenage girls and big action. So. Yeah.
You mentioned Trainwreck, which came out last weekend, and I was not here last Friday. Did you review it last Friday?
No, I wasn't able to see Trainwreck. That's still on my list of movies to go see.
All right. Well, I saw it. You did see it?
Yes.
Do you agree with me? It is the funniest movie of the year?
Yes.
I think it's the funniest movie since Chris Rock's Top Five, Colin.
Yeah. Yes.
She is so good in this movie. For people who don't know it, I mean, unfortunately now the news about Trainwreck is that that was the movie where this idiot in Lafayette, Louisiana shot up the people in the movie theater last night. Just an absolutely horrible story, which I'm going to get to in a few minutes. But for those of you who don't know anything about this, this is Amy Schumer's movie. She's got that terrific Comedy Central show Inside Amy Schumer that I've raved about this season, which is so good. She plays Amy Townsend, who learned as a girl from her father, who's played by Colin Quinn, that monogamy is no good.
I thought that whole speech that he had at the beginning of the movie was hilarious.
Yeah, repeat after me, girls. Monogamy is no good.
Yes.
Yeah. But now she's an adult, and she's putting that advice into practice on a regular basis. She drinks, she smokes weed, and she sleeps with any guy that she wants to, as long as there's no commitment. In fact, the thought of even spending the entire night with a guy is abhorrent to her, so she either leaves or gets the guy to leave and get out. And there's a funny montage of guys being forced to get out of the apartment after they've had sex. During the day, she's a writer for a horrible magazine called Snuff, S-apostrophe-N-U-F-F, like it's enough. She's assigned to write a piece about a doctor named Aaron Connor, who's played by Bill Hader. This is a sports medicine physician and surgeon, and they eventually fall for each other, and they start a relationship that's more than sex, so it's new territory for Amy's character. And along the way, we meet a really good supporting cast. Tilda Swinton plays Amy's beastly boss at the magazine.
Oh, yeah.
She's really good. I think she will be nominated for a supporting Oscar.
She's really unrecognizable, though. Right?
Yes, she is. She's really, really good in this. Vanessa Bayer, who's also from Saturday Night Live, is Amy's coworker. Dave Attell, very funny, is the homeless guy.
Oh, yes.
Outside of Amy's apartment.
Yeah.
Norman Lloyd, the guy who was on Saint Elsewhere 35 years ago. He's 100 years old, Dan. Did you know that?
No.
He's 100 years old, and he is in
For real, 100?
For real.
Oh.
He may be our oldest working actor.
Holy cow.
He's a good actor. He was around with Orson Welles.
Wow.
That's how old this guy is. He's 100 years old, and he's very funny in this movie as a guy who lives in the same nursing home as Colin Quinn, as Amy's father. And there are a slew of other celebrities you'll recognize in this, and I'm not going to spoil those, but there's one that deserves special props, and that is LeBron James. In a standout comedy performance.
Is he good?
Very good.
Yeah, he was.
The previews make him look like the worst actor.
No, he's very good. His timing is great. And Judd Apatow, who directed this thing, did a great job getting him to give a really good performance as Aaron's patient and friend and confidant. I think it's the best movie work by an NBA star since Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in Airplane.
Oh, yeah. Roger. No, I agree. I agree with that.
But the movie's really about Amy Schumer, and she carries every scene she's in. It is her star vehicle. She hits it out of the park. I don't know what else I can say about this, although I do have one complaint. The marketing of this movie, and even last night when I went to see Paper Towns, they had the poster up for Trainwreck at the movie theater, because that's where they were showing it at Ronnie's last night. And they have the poster, and on the top of the poster it says, "From the guy who brought you Bridesmaids." Well, okay, well, Judd Apatow was involved in producing Bridesmaids, and, you know, he's done a whole bunch of other things, but you shouldn't market Amy Schumer's movie as "From the guy who brought you Bridesmaids." It's not about a guy.
Mm-mm.
It's about her and her character, and she carries this movie. Don't you think, Dan, that this is totally her movie?
Oh, yes, definitely.
She's wonderful. And
to say, "From the girl who brought you Inside Amy Schumer."
Yeah. And she wrote it too. She doesn't just star in it. So plus she's making all these headlines every time she gives a speech somewhere or shows up at an award ceremony. She's funny and she's having a breakout year.
The comedy timing in this movie is tremendous.
It really is. Yeah. Now, I do have to give you one caveat. This movie is rated R for a really good reason.
Oh, it's a hard R.
A hard R movie. It is full of sexual material. The only nudity you see is men's butts, but there is a lot of sexual material and a lot of sexual language and you're right. It's a hard art. None of that bothered us.
No.
It made us laugh.
Oh, yes.
But I say that as a caveat so you don't go in, I thought it was going to be a light comedy. No, it is not. But it's rare that I'm in a movie theater and I laugh out loud.
Yeah, don't take your 10-year-old. Or your 12-year-old.
No, definitely not. And I think it's going to launch Amy Schumer to a new level of stardom. And I would hope that the next time she does a movie, the pronoun in the movie poster is, she, not he, because she absolutely deserves it.
Yeah, I do have a couple pieces of news unrelated that I'd just like to throw out there. The comedians on FX canceled after one season. That was Billy Crystal and Josh Gad. I rather liked it, but it clears the way for a new comedy coming out brought to you by Zach Galifianakis and Louis C.K. called Baskets. So FX looking to expand upon their comedy. And Sex and Drugs and Rock and Roll, if you haven't watched that, you should, with Dennis Leary.
Yep, I watched the first episode with the FX app online, and I set my DVR to record the rest of them. I like Dennis Leary. I liked his series Rescue Me. I liked his stand-up. The first episode, okay, it wasn't great, but it was the pilot, and they had to set up the premise for the show of him being an old rock and roller who can't really get work anymore. And so a daughter that he never knew he had shows up, and he kind of gets involved in her new career. With his two girlfriends from the old days, it's kind of clever. I'm looking forward to seeing more episodes of it.
Yeah, Baywatch. They're making a movie. They've approached Dwayne Johnson to star in the movie Baywatch.
Because the guy in Baywatch is what will draw people in.
Exactly.
When they remade Starsky and Hutch, and they just kind of made a joke out of it.
I don't think anyone's clamoring to see any more of Baywatch ever, though.
No.
It was sort of a joke the first time around.
Well, don't say it was a joke. You may have thought it was a joke. It was the most popular TV show in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't think it had anything to do with the story or acting.
No, of course not. And by the way, it also didn't have anything to do with David Hasselhoff. No one thinks it did, except David Hasselhoff.
I watched it without the sound.
Think it was the most popular show. I think it was the most popular title sequence in the world. that's what I think it was.
That might be true. And by the way, the comedians, that show that FX just canceled with Billy Crystal and Josh Gad, I watched about 1.5 episodes of it, and I stopped because I just didn't like seeing Billy Crystal being a jerk.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that might have turned some people off because the ratings went down every single episode. But I will say it turned around towards the end, but just one of those shows that, hey, they tried, it didn't work.
Yeah.
And then the last scene, if you've seen Inside Out, you realize there's a scene where the main character hates broccoli. And so it's their emotions reacting to broccoli. Well, in Japan, that didn't play. So before they released it, they had Pixar changed the broccoli to green peppers because that's what Japanese children hate more than broccoli.
Oh, really?
It's one of these funny asides, yes.
So the Pixar animators went back and actually changed the pictures of the broccoli in the movie to green peppers?
Yes, they did. There's a special version for Japan. So
wow.
I think that's something quite funny that they actually changed it.
What's really funny is that was animated by South Koreans. Oh, no, I'm sorry. That's The Simpsons. That's not Pixar.
Yeah.
All right. You're back from vacation on Monday to handle things in the newsroom, right?
I'll be back, and next week I will have Mission Impossible, Rogue Nation, and possibly something else.
Can I just say right now about that, I'm actually very divided about whether I'm going to go see this movie, because when we talked about the Scientology documentary Going Clear that aired on HBO a few months ago, and how I was just absolutely revolted by some of the Tom Cruise stuff that was in there that I didn't even know about. I knew he was a Scientologist, but I didn't know how deeply he had been connected with the leader of this cult and all the rest of that. And after watching it, I said to my wife, I don't think I can ever watch another Tom Cruise movie again.
Yeah.
I kind of still want to see the stunts that are in this, but I don't know if I can go see the movie, Colin.
Yeah, I think that this may be the first test, because this is the first big movie he's put out since all those revelations came out. And you know they'll be brought back up as he's making the press rounds and the movie's getting close. So we'll see.
All right.
We'll see. But, yeah.
Thanks, Colin.
I'll talk to you next week, though.
All right. Enjoy the rest of your vacation.
Thank you.